IVM.
All right, hello, welcome to Football Twaddle. My name is Saru. The usual gang of Yash and Tanuj Baru are not here. They are respectively busy in their own lives doing something, and they thought it was not very important to record today. So I have all the way from Vilayat, Mr. Manav Madan, our longtime friend. What's up, Manav?
Yeah, hi, Saru. Yeah, I'm good.
Welcome to the United We Stand podcast.
I want to thank my mother, my father, and all my friends.
We could not get Sir Alex Ferguson for the second time on this podcast, so we decided to get a Jart substitute, which is Manav. And it is slowly becoming that, Manav. When we did the podcast last year and the year before that, we seem to somehow talk a lot about Arsenal. And whenever Azim came on, obviously we spoke about Chelsea. But this year, there seems to be so much pressure on your manager, Mr. Solskjaer, that every week, whether they win or lose, the entire conversation seems to be gravitating towards, oh God, how is this guy screwing up? You think the guy is genuinely under immense pressure right now?
Not immediately. I think he has still time till, say, the second half of the season. I don't think this season anything drastic is going to happen. And I just think it's a temporary thing. And we have seen Solskjaer over the last couple of years or so that he has managed. He always gets this dip in form against average sides. And then when he comes up against the tough sides, he just manages to grind out results. And United's next few fixtures are against the Leicester, Spurs, and including City, Liverpool, all those clubs. So I'm pretty sure he will pass out with flying colors again in over the next couple of months.
I don't think it is that simple, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Last 2 years, United fans were basically like, this is our guy. Like, the problem is not him, right? Yeah. But over the last 2-3 weeks, and a group which you and I are very familiar with, which is Manchester United Supporters Group, Bombay.
Yeah.
And I, every now and then, get into the Twitter spaces, which they do after the weekend.
Yeah.
There is a vocal section of Manchester United fans who are like, dude, this guy is not right. Look at the decisions he's making. Who does not start Cristiano Ronaldo, like, before an international break? What is he giving? Like, Ole's reason was, I have to manage the time load or, like, you know, playing load. But dude, it's an international break. Why is, like, so there's some very strange decision making going. And they're like, this is the season we should be challenging for the title. We've not played any of the big guns yet. And we were already, like, on the same points or drop below 2 points, the leaders. And now we have a tough run of fixtures. And if this guy's erratic decision-making going, and because the pressure was on him, because he has Sancho, Varane, and Cristiano, right? So there is a vocal group of Manchester United fans who are like, I'm not saying disillusioned, but they're like questioning on whether this guy is the right guy.
No, so the thing is, the demand of the fans is totally justified based on the fact that, of course, he has spent so much and the money has been spent on quality. Like, we have not spent 50 million on a certain Brazilian midfielder that we have, like Mourinho had.
No bad mouthing. Brazilian Fred. Pastor Fred is clean.
We remember Mourinho, he spent 30 odd million on Lindelof, 50 odd million on Fred, who were probably nobody. We didn't know them before they actually got contacted by the club or got linked to the club. But Varane, Sancho, and Ronaldo are marquee signings. So, of course, the expectation from the fan base is, of course, there. But I'm trying to think from Glazer's point of view and the kind of expectation they have had from the club. I really don't think Solskjaer is under pressure from the management. Should he be? According to me, yes. With the kind of squad he has, he should be delivering much better results this season, per se. But as I said, I just think it's a temporary dip. We have seen this. This happened in the first season when he managed, also in the second season. Also, there are phases when you think something bad is going to happen. And he just ended up finishing second in the league last year and third in the league the previous year. So I think he'll manage again this year somehow. The challenge will be in the cup competitions, including the Champions League, because getting knocked out early, we are already out of Carabao. Champions League, we lost a very odd game to the side which is expected to finish fourth in the group. We lost to them away from home. So I think the challenge will be there. Premier League, I just think he'll manage. But regarding challenging for the Premier League title this year, I don't really think Glazers are expecting that to happen in the immediate year. I think City and Chelsea are a notch ahead. Both clubs.
We'll talk about Liverpool. They are so impressive. It is amazing what they did. The last thing on Manchester United, I want to talk about the Villarreal game. How on earth was that pulled off? Like, that was... And you know I support every team that plays against Manchester United. So, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, let's go Unai. And that was like a double thing, right? I wanted to like... badmouth United fans and Arsenal fans. I was like, this is my opportunity. And Unai delivered. That first half was cracking by Villarreal. They were so good. Just those idiots couldn't finish the game off. And yeah, somehow, God. I was so disappointed by the end of it. I'm not that disappointed when Chelsea lose also.
No, I mean, David De Gea had a special day that Wednesday night. And of course, two goals out of, I would say, nowhere. I mean, Alex Telles, one was of a set piece. And Ronaldo also, I mean, just a good ball in. Jesse Lingard manages to find his tutta from somewhere. And then Ronaldo does what he does best, that is score goals. So, I mean, yeah, that win was sort of a lucky win, you can say. But yeah, a win is a win. And 3 points were pretty important, especially because that game was at home. Now, the next couple of fixtures in Champions League will be very interesting. Man United, a struggling Man United versus Atlanta.
Atlanta are doing all right in Serie A.
Exactly. So, that's going to be two fun fixtures. Because if United don't get 4 points out of these two games, I think they'll
be... Yeah, but dude, Atlanta are like the Italian Leeds, right? So,
yeah,
they are, you know, midfield, even Fred will dominate that game. Yeah. Oh man, now that we're talking, there are two more things. One of the silver linings is the form of David De Gea. Oh God.
Yeah.
Like Dean Henderson gets injured. He's injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was
pulled out of the England squad. Yeah. I mean, this is De Gea from, I think, I don't know, 6 years back when we had Van Gaal days or early days of Mourinho. I mean, just peak David De Gea. I mean, just incredible. I mean, that double save he pulled off in one of the matches, I don't remember, second game week or something, double save he pulled out against Wolverhampton or some other club. And then against that Wolves, yeah. And then performance against Villarreal. And even during the week, he's been doing some fabulous job. I think he's so happy that Lindelof is gone in front of him. I mean, he's technically still there playing instead of Maguire, who's injured. But he's so happy to see Varane in front of him, rather that he's pulling these saves off. But yeah, really happy with his form.
And why is Sir Alex Ferguson telling Khabib that it's a mistake to not start Ronaldo? That video was not supposed to be leaked, but we know the world we live in. Oh God, yeah. that was the thing. Solskjaer must be thinking, Abe, my father is also against me.
Yeah, I mean, see, it's not that he started, Jesse Lingard as a false nine or Anthony Martial as a number nine replacing Ronaldo. He still started with Cavani, who's a pretty good striker himself. And you should expect, if you're playing against Everton at home, you should manage. But I totally understand the argument that there was an international break to follow. Having said that, you have to understand Ronaldo has some commitments for Portuguese national team as well. The week that Ronaldo flew into Manchester after his transfer, he had got multiple yellow cards in the previous game. So he missed an international fixture and came to Manchester early to train. So you had some sort of arrangement with the Portuguese national side that please release him early. So if one on one side of the international break, if you're getting him early and if you have to sort of give him 30 minutes and not 90 for the just before the next international break, it's okay. I mean, I don't think not playing Ronaldo was to blame for the draw. I think even with Cavani, we should have pulled it off on paper. But of course, we were not good enough in the game.
All right. The final question on Manchester United. Is Khabib a better midfielder than Fred?
I think anybody would be a better midfielder than Fred right now. Even we could even ask Usain Bolt to come and play, and even would do.
It's not a team.
I mean, I just don't get this Fred Vala thing. I mean, just simply play Matic there, man. I mean, what should I say? Fred, he was brilliant last year, Fred, early half. But this year, it's just not working out. And although I'm not saying that we should have a Declan Rice or some Kamavinga or some world-class midfielder, but I just think we have a better squad in our hands and we can play better with those players itself.
Yeah, I mean, there was some sort of, you know, all these people who put like a lot of analytics on Twitter. I definitely saw something last year on how similar Fred and McTominay are and how Matic is actually quite different from them in the way they play the game. And yeah, that was quite interesting. Let me see if I can pull it out. I'll share it.
And Matic gives you that aerial ability as well while defending. I mean, I'm not saying he's a brilliant header but just that physical presence when defending corners, etc. in the box. So, I am all Matic. I mean, if he can play 60 minutes also, I think you would have won the game by then.
Yeah.
Because he's a proper CDM.
All right. You earlier said that City and Chelsea are another level. And I said, you are forgetting Liverpool. They are defying expectations. I mean, Klopp is an amazing manager. And I have enormous respect for that man. But, oh God, dude, they are just doing it. They're doing it so well. Like, after that disastrous first half against City, to basically change the way you play and just go for it. And Salah, like, what more does he need to do to be called, like, a Premier League great? I don't understand. Like, people have this thing, like, you know, not yet. I think Salah is already an established Premier League great.
Yeah, I'm probably one of those guys, but I think by the end of this season, I would also change the way things are going. But yeah, I mean, fantastic. I mean, you must have seen that Jurgen Klopp post-match video which went viral, right?
Yes, that was so good.
Yeah, I mean, you don't generally see this, no? Managers talking about tactics and how things happen.
No, you do.
Okay. Maybe
you find it very, very rarely. Because they're generally started. But there are few managers who will talk. And I mean, you can listen to Pep. Pep every now and then. They have to be in the mood also.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So, but you can listen to. You listen to Pep, Mourinho sometimes. Klopp is a little more often. But you talk to, like, you listen to Nagelsmann's interviews post-match in Germany. I'm just seeing if the defense is like moving like this. I don't really care. But man, the amount of thought that goes into what has to happen. That was such a brilliant video. That was.
I mean, this is better than watching All or Nothing bullshit on Amazon Prime. Waiting ke kab board pe Mourinho jayega, tactics discuss karega. Usse acha bas wo 2 minute ka, you could watch that Jurgen Klopp clip and you could understand the spaces in the midfield and then you have to go wide and otherwise it's not working. So come back in the middle. I mean,
yeah.
Fabulous.
Talking of All or Nothing. There was a part in the Spurs All or Nothing where against Manchester United after the lockdown. There's a clip of Mourinho which says he is going to come. He is going to pass from there to there.
Yes,
I am telling you it's going to happen.
And that happened.
And that exactly happened. And
yes.
So when managers post-match say, I have prepared the team and I have told them everything possible.
Correct.
And it has not happened. Maybe there is some truth to it.
Yeah. I mean, of course, these are world-class managers and they have their world-class... And just talking about tactics and all, I just remember that one YouTube video which Mourinho has on that Inter Milan versus Barcelona semi-final 2009.
The coach's voice.
What a video. I could see that video all over again. Fabulous video.
Oh, there are some good videos on the same thing.
Yes, the same YouTube channel.
Emery also.
Okay. No, I haven't seen all of them. So.
Yeah, they go into great detail. attitude. So as of now, it looks like it's going to be City versus Chelsea versus Liverpool.
And my only sort of concern with Liverpool, which was sort of exposed last year, is I am unsure about their squad depth. So if somebody gets injured, like Van Dijk had a horrible injury last year, if not Van Dijk, I'm saying even if a Fabinho gets injured as a central defensive midfielder, or any one of the front three gets out injured for say a 2 to 3 month span, I am not sure if they'll be the same force.
I hear you, and I raise you Sterling and Gabriel Jesus. What is the point of having squad depth if the depth is Sterling and Jesus? They must have the Premier League record for the most 6-yard misses ever.
Yeah, I mean, and now the early part of the season, I think Pep was playing Ferran Torres as a false nine up front.
Now he's playing Grealish. Grealish. He's like, through all this, we bought one guy for 100. Let's just put him there.
Yeah, let him score all the goals.
Man, but yeah, I hope this continues, because it's been quite some time since we had an really exciting Premier League. When I say quite some time, 2 years, because I remember City 99 and Liverpool 97.
90. Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Yeah, Chelsea are doing good. I mean, they had a 3-1 win over Southampton. I think if not for that red card to Ward-Prowse, I think the game was going pretty level. Saints had come back into it. You saw the game? How was the last 15-20 minutes?
I mean, I was so surprised that Ross Barkley can still cross a ball.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, my God, this guy has some ability still.
I'm surprised Ross Barkley is still in the squad.
Aray, but yeah, given Chelsea, you know, they will stop there. Yeah. Right? But, and the minute Aspi did not try to cross it, but, you know, like he did like on-ground cross. He didn't try to go for a header cross. And I knew, achha, ye toh goal hone wala hai. But the third goal, Lukaku hits the post. Then something happens. I think it was Aspilicueta, if I'm not wrong. And then finally, Ben Chilwell. I love that guy. He is so good. And I would any day put him over like Marcos Alonso. He scores a goal. Things are going fine. Things where, you know, for whom things are not going fine?
Yeah.
Munoz of Watford.
Oh, okay. Yeah, until last week, you could say Nuno of Spurs also. But yeah, now the Nuno of Watford.
Poor guy. I mean, if you take a poll of last 5 years, if there have been like 84 Premier League manager sackings, 61 must be Watford managers. Why? Like, they're the only team which tries to change a manager 4 times a season.
Yeah, I mean, until now, until say the last time Watford were there, I always used to think the problem is Troy Deeney. Dekhke usko aisa lagta tha, he would have had some problem with the manager, and he's sort of a fan favorite. He's the captain. He scores goals. Must be management Sharon. And because of him, the manager is getting sacked. Now, to even Troy Deeney is not there, and now even the managers are getting sacked.
So. But, you know, you can always spin a story two sides. The other side could be, look at this club being proactive. They knew something was not working in spite of being 15th on table. They went ahead and they changed and got dilly-ding, dilly-dong.
So, you get a Premier League winning manager.
Yes, imagine. Watford has, like, there are only 3 Premier League winning managers now. So, it is Claudio, Pep and Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp, yeah. Interesting, very interesting.
So, I think, you know, my kick-ass analytical mind says that Watford are now favorites, one of the favorites to finish in top 4, because that's how I work. Like, they got a Premier League winning manager, right? Top 4 to banta hai, yeah. Come on.
Very good. By the way, what's this news going around with respect to Saudi takeover of Newcastle getting completed? I think something
is going on for so like. Oh,
Steve Bruce is waiting. Kab paisa aayega?
But why would Steve Bruce think that he will be in charge the minute the takeover happens?
Exactly.
And he's on a 6-week clock. He will wait for his severance pay. If some 84th cousin of the third in line to Saudi's throne buys Newcastle. I genuinely don't understand. Suddenly there's like a lot of people saying, like, what is the moral standards we have? Like if you allow Saudi to take over, are bhai, then sell City now. What are you doing? then say no to Champions League because Gazprom is there or correct. Qatar. Yeah, don't go to Qatar for the World Cup. Why are you going?
Exactly.
Like the line is, there's no line anymore. It is politics correct. And football are mixed left, right, center.
Absolutely.
You have to basically live with it. So there's nothing we can do. But I don't think that's happening. Yeah. Anytime soon. I've heard that for 2 years now. I think the main problem...
I think we even did a podcast, no?
Yeah, exactly. I was so proactive then. I was like, Saudi is buying. Let's just talk Riyadh FC. Nothing happened. But what... I think the main problem is this. That Saudi guys want to pay 200. And Mike Ashley wants 350. It is pretty much that. And he's not going to do anything with the club till he gets his money. So if the Saudi guys want to cough up a little more, they probably can. But I think Premier League has to say okay, which I think they will. They can't piss off a country.
Yeah, of course they will. And until
so
then
half the real estate projects will get stopped in that country. So
yeah, until the time it doesn't happen, we'll see Alan Sand Maxima and Joe Linton running down the wings.
Which I'm not at all opposed to it.
ASM is pretty good. I mean, he looks like an Adama Traore with brains.
Sure, no. I think they're the same. It's just that whatever he touches, like it's turning into gold. All right, we should take a break right now. Think of your player of the week and the game you... I don't know. This is international weekend. So what crappy international game are you going to... we had to like... a segment on the game of the week to watch. So think about that. Stay tuned to Football Twaddle. All right, welcome back to Football Twaddle. It was an exciting weekend in the Premier League, and it was a very exciting weekend in La Liga because a team I support in La Liga, Atletico Madrid, basically destroyed Barcelona and Suarez scored a goal. So I should say, Mana, things are going my way this season. The 7 games we have, the teams I support, the people I want to like, they're all doing all right. So, you know, I may be a very happy man by May.
Good going. I mean, so how do you define being a happy man? You want Chelsea to win the Premier League or the Champions League again?
I am beyond all that.
Okay, so you just want Jorginho to win another Ballon d'Or. That's it.
I want him to win first one before he wins another one.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I was referring to the one he got during the Champions League draw, but yeah.
And I have, my stated position is I would be happy if Chelsea finished second. So,
okay.
So, yeah. If we win, it's a bonus. Imagine Ross Barkley is also a Premier League winner. Harry Kane will go like... he will just like drown his face somewhere. Like,
isn't Ross Barkley already a winner with Conte? Or was he not in the squad then? I am not sure.
I am not too sure. I have not followed Ross Barkley's career since his debut with such keenness.
Yeah, he was with Aston Villa last year on loan, right?
Yeah.
Remember him in the 7-2 game against Liverpool.
Ah, I know. But poor Kane, man. I feel bad for him. I mean, I don't want to really... We already spoken about it. But imagine that Barkley also is winning Premier League. Tammy Abraham played like 4 minutes of Champions League and got the winner's medal. Kahin to chupta hi hoga na ki yaar. Like, what is this? All right. Who has been your player of the week? Let's get into that. Who has been your player of the week?
I mean, having scored that goal, I think we have to pick Mohamed Salah. As much as I hate Liverpool, but I have to pick Salah.
We know you have to pick Mohamed Salah. I have another special player in my mind. Yeah, but Salah, what form he is in. Liverpool should just take a stance. And I am very happy that there are some articles being written. He is a bona fide Liverpool legend. They should say, sir, aap yahin pe retire ho jao. Just like sign the bloody agreement and get on with it. Don't go anywhere. We love you here. You love us here. So just get on with it. They should not do all this crap bullshit of trying to like, you know, shortchange him. Just pay him some money and give him a longer contract. Do something. Nah. Just get him to retire.
Right. I mean, let's see if that happens. The whole of Egypt will be... we'll start worshipping Anfield.
तुम्हे पैसे ही चाहिए. If you want money, just sell money. So and then retain Salah, you will anyway, and I don't think they're letting go of Klopp anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to stay for another 3-4 years at least.
Exactly.
Just like James Milner.
Oh, dude.
He doesn't look like retiring either.
I mean, I thought he will retire while taking a red card during the game. Both didn't happen. How did he even stay on the pitch? What the hell?
I mean, that reaction of Guardiola with, who was it? Klattenberg or who was the official touchline? But I
but James Milner, God, dude. For a minute, I thought I was watching Manchester United play. What is this? When did these people have this much clout that they can buy off the league? What is going on? All right. Obviously, Salah is your player of the week. My player of the week is a South Korean. And no, it's not Hyun Min Son. It is Hwang Hee-chan.
The Wolves guy.
Yes.
Okay.
And from when Hwang Hee-chan started playing for Wolves this season, he's a decent player, first of all. Yeah. But from when he started playing, Wolves have won 3 out of 4 games and he's won 4 goals. He scored 4 goals. Wow. So, I'm telling you. And he's a Red Bull product. So, he knows basically how to press. He was at Red Bull Salzburg and then he moved to Leipzig. Leipzig mein toh kuch khas kiya nahi hai. But okay. I think he's been trained in the Red Bull ways. Right.
Okay.
He knows the concept of trying to press and trying to close down spaces. But the greatest revelation is that he is like getting back to some sort of Salzburg form. And he scored like 3 goals in 4 games. Wolves started playing well. But they were not really winning. And now
they were good in the first few games also, including the one against Man United.
Yep.
But not amongst the points.
Yeah, they won 3 out of the last 4. So, he is my player of the week. I think he is someone to, like, you know, look forward to this season.
And yeah, I'm sure.
I genuinely, like, I've been following Wolves for some time now. So, I do keep tabs on them. So, I will update the Hwang Hee-chan thing going on. But yeah, he is my player of the week. All right. So, let's get to what game do you want to watch on the weekend? I am definitely not going to watch any. So, next week's podcast is going to be a challenge. But if there is any to watch, Manav, what are you going to watch?
So actually, there are the UEFA Nations League, the tournament that nobody cares about. That tournament has its semi-finals this week. In fact, today, one of them is, while we are recording this podcast, it's Italy versus Spain. And other one...
You're like getting me excited for this tournament now.
And the other one, which would be my game of the week, would be Belgium versus France, which is tomorrow night.
You mean the La French Derby?
Yeah.
Belgium versus France.
Yeah.
Is that also Nations League?
Yeah, yeah. These are the two semi-finals.
Wait, so if... Just refresh my memory. Nations League has some 28 groups and then every group has a winner. Right? So this...
Yeah, so there are groups the and then subgroups and then there are ultimately, I think, 4 groups and one the best team amongst the 4 groups come up and play the semi-finals amongst each other.
Oh, so the final...
Is what I remember, even I'm not like 100% sure.
But
I think Portugal won this tournament the last time.
Yes, that I remember. Yeah. Because people like you basically made a certain someone the goat because he was like standing around giving
Euro bhi jeet liya aur UEFA Nations League bhi jeet liya.
Exactly. So such fallacious arguments is what I heard. I remember that.
that tells us how useless this tournament is. And even then we are picking our game of the week from this tournament.
No, I mean the games you said, to be honest, are like good games, right? And if
they're good games, but I don't know if everybody, if they're going to play with full strength. Is everybody available?
Dude, you're Should asking be. A person who's definitely not going to watch any football of the weekend.
No. The only thing is that, of course, these matches would be played within Europe. So I'm sure the availability and COVID travel issues are not there, which were there in, say, a South American continent or something. So everyone should be available.
Huh.
So, yeah.
I'm sure Fred will miss his flight and not play for Brazil, but still do 14-day quarantine. I mean, at some point, I think, you know what we should do next week, if you're available? We should take such bizarre moments which have happened, which have made no sense at all to anyone, and try and go through, like, what actually happened. Let me actually do some research on the weekend. All right. Sure. So I am going to, let's say the Nations League semifinals are the games to watch. Is India playing?
I think they must be. We need to call our friend Mr. Baru.
Or I can just Google right now.
Yeah.
India national football team.
They're playing Sri Lanka 7 p.m. I think these matches are happening in Maldives.
At SAF Championship. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think this is being conducted in Maldives, this tournament.
Yes. So India is playing Sri Lanka tomorrow, which is a Thursday. And then Nepal and India are playing on Sunday. And
Sunday
then,
night. Yeah.
And India and Maldives are playing at 9:30. I would choose Nepal versus India. And I would say go Chetri.
Are we calling it the Momos Derby?
Well, you're excluding China and Hong Kong. I don't think that is an advisable thing to do. Or, do they know what Momos are? Or is it an Indian thing?
No, it's just dim sums.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we wrote an article on momos, like on Saturday in HT Brunch. And momos are a very Nepali creation.
Absolutely. Of course. It's a Nepalese dish, if that's the right word. Yeah.
Correct. Wo to bas maida hai. Like, so no refinement, nothing. Like dim sums. Just maida wrapped around cabbage and like...
Yeah. or dumplings.
Yeah, to dumpling and like, you know, dim sum, they have this gravitas. Momo kya hai?
Wo fine dine mein wo milta hai aur Shezwan wale truck pe wo milta hai.
The only thing I would steal from a Momo truck is the Shezwan, not the Momo. I will take the Shezwan and go eat dim sums. All right. Have you been eating any momos, dim sums? Like, what are you eating?
Yeah, so the food is a little bit of a problem here. So I'm eating rice with anything and everything which they give. So right now, we'll still take some time to get accustomed to the cuisines here.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
The real Chinese cuisine.
Yeah, it's right now it's pretty much a rice-based diet with something you don't need to get into. What are you eating? Just eat it with the rice. So just eat it and shut up.
And so, how many more days is your quarantine going on?
So I am going to be in quarantine for another 15 days and then I have to self-monitor for another week when I can't venture out. So,
imagine Lewis Hamilton was leading the championship when you went into quarantine. When you got out, like, Max is leading by 40 points.
yeah, you never know what will happen. And of course, you earlier talked about Red Bull teaching players to press.
Yes.
So, let's see if Sergio Perez has learned something from the Red Bull School of Coaching.
And he will. He's going to teach Red Bull guys that you can finish fifth by starting 20th. You really don't have to take load. All right, Bana. Very nice talking to you. Have a time in your quarantine and we see you soon.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. And bye-bye, listeners.